Good morning. We have a good group this morning. Everybody so clean and polished. We're glad you're all here. We have some visitors. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that everyone is here. It's such a blessing to be with the family. Amen. Oh, that was weak. Amen. A little better. We're awake now, maybe. Such a blessing. I was reading in James yesterday and wanted to share with you. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Another word for steadfastness is patience. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains patient under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God is saying, when it gets bad, you still keep your joy. The world knows happy. The world doesn't know joy because they don't have Christ. And that's where joy comes from. We love you. We're glad each of you are here. Have a blessed week and bless others with your life. Our dear Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for this opportunity to be with our church family, to share smiles and love and contact and sharing our lives with each other. Sometimes we feel alone, and it is such a blessing to our hearts to see others that have our common faith in you and have the one faith that you talk about in Ephesians. Father, we're so blessed to be part of your family, to be adopted by you, to be forgiven by you. Help us also to forgive ourselves. Help us not to be continually praying for something we did years ago. Help us know that you have forgiven it and you have forgotten it. We thank you for the peace of mind that you give us. We're thankful for the joy that you give us. Help us to share love and kindness with other people that we come in contact with. Help us to copy the life of Jesus in treating everyone well, but speaking the truth in love. We thank you for the Lord's Supper that we will be able to partake of this morning together. We thank you for this reminder of what Jesus did for us in forgiving our sins. And help us to also remember that you raised him from the dead so that he did not see corruption. Father, it's such a joy to be in your family. We love our spiritual family. Bless our church here. Bless our missionaries that we know about and help support. Be with the church all over the world. In so many places, the church is persecuted. We don't know persecution. And we thank you for that blessing. Help us, Father, to live each day to the fullest with you in mind, and help us to let Jesus lead our lives and help us serve you and not ourselves. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the church. We thank you for Jesus. Help us to have more of the Holy Spirit. Help us be closer to you. And when we fall and don't do right, help us to run back to you quickly for our forgiveness and fellowship. Thank you for everything you do for us each day. And always help us keep our joy in whatever situation is going on. In Jesus' name, amen.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, our Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No. Breaking of the bread, we'll gather.
I told Jerry he's going to have to help me lead that one. The only other time I've ever sung it was the last time he led it. So, but I like that song. It's a good song. Please stand with me.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned
seated, please. We'll now have our scripture.
Today we'll be reading Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worth of praise, think about these things. Whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time, for letting us be here again during this awful time. Thank you for letting us be able to live another day. Help us stay. Help us keep this word in our minds as we live through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, hearts full of praise, so be exalted, the Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. Worthy is the King of kings. Worthy is the King of kings. Glory, lift up your name with hearts full, hearts full of praise. So be exalted, the Lord my God. Hosanna in the highest. There's a stirring deep within me. Could it be my time has come? When I see my gracious Savior face to face, when all is done, is that his voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one, is he calling me? Is he calling me? I will rise.
Seated, please. This will be the song before the Lord's Supper.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and when striving cease, my comforter.
Great to see everybody here this morning. We're about to enter into the Lord's Supper, and if you didn't have an opportunity, all of the communion supplies are in the back, so if anyone needs some, I believe Dale has some that he can pass out. Just raise your hand if you need that. All right, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your power and for your love that came to earth to just make the sacrifice for our sins. I pray, Lord, that as we take this bread, that we would just remember your body that was broken on the cross for us, and what a great thing and great act of love that was. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please pray with me as we bless the cup. Lord, thank you for what this cup represents. Thank you for your blood that was shed on the cross to take away our sins and to make us white as snow. I thank you that you could do what nothing else in this world could do, that you loved us enough to shed your own blood to take away our sins. I pray that we never would forget that or take this for granted. It's in your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. This time we're going to offer a prayer for the offering. The offering plates are in the back, so after service, if you have any contributions, you can leave them back there. Lord, thank you for how you've just always blessed us and taken care of us. And I pray, Lord, that as we return this portion back to you, that you just use it to help those that are in need, and it would all be used for your glory and to reach the lost. I pray, Father, that we would just all just give willingly and generously, Lord. And thank you that you've just blessed us beyond measure. I pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand for the next two songs. My throat's not going six more.
Hail Jesus, you're my King. Your life frees me to sing. I will praise you all my days. You're perfect in all your ways. Hail Jesus, you're my Lord. I will obey your word. Want to see your kingdom come. Not my will, but yours be done.
Forget some of the words change up on us.
Lord, the people praise you. Lift you up and raise you. You are Holy One. You're the only one. Lord, the people love you. Place nobody above.
Morning, church. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Had to find the on button. Oh, it hit me this morning. We were driving in, and I've been studying in Thessalonians this week, and a song came on the radio, and the singer sang that, I can't wait till you wake me up just like Lazarus. And it just cemented everything that I've been reading and everything that I've been focusing on. And God just filled my heart with such an amazing love and power and peace. Everything that I have been studying this week, and then he allowed me to experience it this morning. The peace that we have because death has been erased for those in Christ. It's gone. It's done. It's done. Now, I've got the job of convincing you of this in the next few minutes. But he writes to the church in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you for that life starting now in our salvation. We thank you for allowing us to experience the first fruits of eternity now with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for making us a part of your family, of your eternal kingdom here in your church. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to lift our voices to praise and glory to your name. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to partake of the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that reminds our hearts the sacrifice that was made for us and also reminds us of the new covenant of his blood, that we are forgiven of our sins. Father, it is a beautiful thing to recall in our hearts that you have removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. It is a beautiful thing to recall that the sacrifice of your Son, the love that was poured out on Calvary for us, has changed everything. Father, we pray that you give us faith and strength to give you our lives, to trust you each day, to guide our steps in righteousness and holiness. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I've got to start this morning with a couple questions. And I want you to think before you answer. These are not knee-jerk reactions. I want you to think and answer honestly. Is God the biggest thing in your life? Question number two. Is his will for you the most important thing in your life? All right, now that you've considered those questions, how would you answer? Tentatively or absently, is what I'm reading on your faces. So this is the portion of the lesson in which audience response is encouraged. Is God the most important thing in your life? Yeah. Is his will for you the most important thing that you live for? Okay. I was hoping this was going to be easier today. I really was. All right, here we go. At the end of 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing to the church about the return of Jesus. And when most people think about the end of the world, they get what? Scared. Right? Scared. What's it going to look like? How painful is it going to be? Anybody ever had a surgery? Anybody ever had your body worked on? You had all those questions for the doctor, right? You were going in and they were going to fix something. They're going to fix something internally. You can't see it and you're going to have to trust them to do what's necessary. And you're just nervous and you're just scared and then they just tell you to count backwards from 1,000 and you get to about 998. And the next thing you know, you're waking up going, when are they starting? Oh yeah. Paul says it's like that. Paul says it's like that. Death has been removed for those who are in Christ Jesus. Death has been removed. He says, I don't want you to be afraid of those who have fallen asleep in Christ. They are merely sleeping. They are merely sleeping. You've been to a funeral. You've lost a loved one, or rather, you've witnessed a loved one fall asleep in Christ. And Paul says, I don't want you to worry about them because they're going to be there when Jesus comes. They're going to be there when Jesus shows up and says, wake up, son. You know that feeling you get on a Saturday morning when you have something that day that you actually want to do? And the alarm clock goes off and you actually wake up with a smile on your face? I mean, it's not like Sunday through Friday where the alarm clock goes off and you're like, oh. Anybody hit that snooze button just harder than they should just out of spite? I really don't want to do this again today. I really don't want to just go through what I've got waiting for me today. No, no, no. The voice of Jesus to those who have fallen asleep is like a Saturday morning alarm clock when you've got a full day of wonderful plans. You can't wait to get up. You can't wait to rise up and meet what the day has in store. And the Apostle Paul says in the Scriptures, that's what it's like when Jesus comes back to wake up those who've fallen asleep. They're going to be woken up and then he's going to gather all of us and we're going to meet him together in the sky. It's an amazing picture. It's an amazing idea. And it is a wonderful theology for end times. Church, you and I don't have to worry about, because all of the talk about end times is how many bad things have to happen before he comes back. We're looking for this bad sign and we're looking for that bad sign. And you and I, just like everybody else, are searching the tea leaves, searching our Bibles, looking for what? Bad things. Guess what? Bad things. Newsflash. Bad things. All right. So there's bad things. So if I focus on the bad things, what's going to happen to me? Yeah. Paul's smart enough and Paul's filled with the Spirit enough to know this. So after talking about all of Jesus' returns, he says, look, here's what you need to do. Here's how you live with that kind of faith each and every day. And he drops us down into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Pray always. Pray all the time. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There you have it. It's worth underlining. It's probably worth trying to live. Rejoice always, don't stop praying, and give thanks no matter what's going on around you. That's what God says He wants for you and your life. Okay. Well, that's worth getting on board for, isn't it? Absolutely it is. That is worth getting on board for. Verse 19, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test everything and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. You know, most people live their lives in this constant, ugly pattern of waiting for something good to happen so that they can rejoice. Right? We'll get up and we'll go to work, and if no one dumps extra work on my desk, or if someone greets me friendly, or I hear a good story, or I get to share about how good my weekend was, okay, it's a good morning. Well, most people are waiting for something big to happen in their life, right? As soon as the Lord takes away this present problem that I'm in, then I'm going to rejoice. As soon as God fixes this part of my health, then I'll be able to rejoice. As soon as God gets us all back to normal, then I'll get to rejoice. That's how most people live their lives. You know the only problem with that rejoicing? Doesn't last very long. You know people who live like this, right? They are not rejoicing the majority of their time. They're spending the majority of their time worrying and griping and complaining about present circumstances. You know what I usually don't hear from those same people? The rejoicing once it's actually fixed. Because if you're going to focus on the complaining about where you're at today, you don't have a heart for rejoicing. You have a heart for complaining. And as soon as that gets fixed, oh, new problem to focus on. God says that He wants you to rejoice always. Now, what does the enemy want you to do? It's very simple. He wants you to do the opposite of what God says. The enemy doesn't want you to rejoice always. The enemy wants you to rejoice sparingly, occasionally, every once in a while, when things are good. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Because if he can get you rejoicing every once in a while, you know what every once in a while turns into? Never. Never. If you're an occasional rejoicer, guess what? You're not far from not being a rejoicer. You can't rejoice occasionally. You can't rejoice occasionally. The enemy doesn't want you to pray. And God says, I want you, my will for you in Jesus Christ is that you don't stop talking to me. You don't stop listening to me. That we stay in communication. You know what happens when you haven't seen somebody in a while and you don't talk to them, you don't message them, you don't text them? What happens? What happens to that relationship? It grows apart, doesn't it? And then when you see him again, it's kind of what? How's it going? How are the kids? I guess you had kids, right? Yeah, you had kids. Yeah, how are the kids? Johnny and Susie? Oh, my! Yeah. That's what the enemy wants you to do. The enemy wants you to pray sparingly. The enemy wants you to pray occasionally because he knows sparingly and occasionally will turn to never. And then the will of God for you is to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, that's a very important word. I looked it up. That word, the smallest word in there, is the most important part. I-N. Give thanks in all circumstances. Because most people read that as give thanks for all circumstances. I got great news for you. That's super faith. I won't even hold you to that standard today. Giving thanks for all circumstances means no matter what happens, you're going to thank God for it. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me this disease. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me this family problem. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me this horrible work day. I'm not even going to hold you to that standard because the word in there is in, not for. Give thanks in all circumstances. So what God is saying is, for you and I to be faithful, His will for us is, okay, so I'm sick. I'm not 100%. Praise be to God. Okay. It's a rough day. I have a job that I don't particularly enjoy. It doesn't bring me happiness. Okay. Praise be to God. Give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. You can have the in. I won't even make you have the for. But you better hang on to that all. You better hang on to that all. We don't get to pick and choose which circumstances that we feel like giving thanks to God. I'm not feeling thankful today. Well, those who want to please the Lord feel thankful. Those who are doing the will of God in Jesus Christ are thankful. So give thanks. Give thanks. That's what we're told to do. That's important stuff. That's important stuff. So, I love this. Where is it? Verse 21. Test everything and hold fast to what is good. Test everything and hold fast to what is good. Have you guys ever hit a like button on Facebook? A meme made you laugh, or you just saw something so entertaining, or you saw something that just chimed with your political views, and you just had to thumbs up it, right? I like that. That's good. I agree. Amen. That is your social media amen, is the like button, right? I've talked to more people that said, I wish there was a dislike button. I'd like to dislike some things. Just call your friend list. Nobody's brave enough to do that, are they? Call your friend list. That's the dislike button. Get rid of your friends. Find new ones. Hold fast to what is good. Church, we have got to let go to what is bad. You'll let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You can't hold on to that stuff. All right? Let it go. But Michael, I can't just quit my job because I can't afford it. I need this job and it's horrible and I hate it and the people around are so negative. It's so, wait, guess what? I think they've rubbed off. God put you where he put you. You going to have faith to give thanks for it or not? That's the only question. You don't get to complain about all the awful people in the world that God has put you in. What if Jesus came down here and said, oh, Lord, nope, they're not worth it. What if he came down here with all of us awful people and said, nope, I'm out. They're not worth it. They're all nasty. They're all mean. They only think about bad things. I'm not dying for them. What if God has you in a position right now, today, right now in your life that he actually wants you to be in and he wants you to be faithful all the way through it? I was kind of joking. The what if is not real. God has you in a situation right here, right now that he wants you to be in, be faithful, and work through it, trusting him, rejoicing always, giving thanks in whatever situation you find yourself in. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to serve God in Jesus Christ. Whew. Felt good to sing those songs this morning, didn't it? Woo! Love that part of being a Christian. Yeah! I get jacked up for that. But I'm going to have to go to work tomorrow. And he's going to expect me to be a Christian. I got to get back to it. And I'm going to try to recall those songs and I'm going to, but I'm just going to get focused on everything else. And then by the end of the day, I'm just going to bring the nasty home to my family and I'm going to share it with them. And then we're all going to have an awful evening. We're not going to give thanks and be grateful for the food that we have received. We're just going to, can't wait till I can go to sleep. Why? You're just going to wake up. Tomorrow's going to be there. Quit running from stuff. Quit running to stuff. Enjoy the gift that God has given you right now. That's how you rejoice always. You give thanks in every situation. Jesus himself helps us to do this. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is going to help us realize that we have been sanctified completely and how to hold on to what is good. Here it is, Matthew chapter 6. Here's how you hold on to what is good and let go of everything else. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust can destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart is where your treasure is. Your heart is where your treasure is. That means I'm going to be thinking about, I'm going to be focused on, I'm going to love whatever I treasure. Huh. I haven't seen anything lovely in a while. I haven't treasured something really good in a while. And all I can see around me is the stuff going on down here. It's got me focused on the negative. It's got me focused on the bad. It's got me focused on the loss. It's got me focused on the change. Hey, anybody notice how much Christians have been talking about how the United States of America has changed in the last 9 months? Anybody noticed how many crickets when all the Christians have been talking about an eternal, changeless God over the last forever? Test it. If it ain't good, get rid of it. It's like these guys knew what they were doing. It's almost as if God's word can be trusted. It's almost as if the creator of all things, including me, kind of knows how to win at life. Yeah. You know that Jesus wants you to win, right? It's kind of strange to hear, isn't it? Jesus wants me to win? Absolutely, Jesus wants you to win. Jesus wants you to win, and he knows there's only one way to do it. There's only one way to do it. I can't do it without faith. I can't do it on my own. He says, look, you want to put your heart in the right place? Then put your treasure in the right place. Well, Michael, what does that mean, my treasure in the right place? Where's all your time and your energy? Because you know what we do with treasures? We look at them. We hold them. We polish them. We adjust them. We put them and display them. Oh, so we talk about them. We ask people to come and see them. That's what we do with our treasures, right? We do. I know what you're thinking. Well, Michael, I don't have, you know, a fancy car. It's not really a treasure. I don't have. We all have our treasures. Think about what you talk about, what you share, what you show other people pictures of. That's what you treasure. That's what you treasure. And if your treasures are all down here, your heart's going to be down here. If your treasures are laid up in heaven, if what you care about the most is God and the things that God does and the things that God has promised, then my heart is going to be with God. And if my heart is with God, I can't be shaken. If my heart is with God, then all the roilings and the rumblings down here are not going to affect me. So what am I going to do with all that extra energy that I have, not worrying and complaining and being scared and being frustrated? Well, maybe I'll spend some time on the things of God. Maybe I'll spend some time actually focusing on the good that He has given me. Maybe I'll let other people know about the good that He has done for me. That'd be fantastic. That'd be fantastic. Lance read for us in Philippians chapter 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord. Look, I'll say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. What's your reasoning for rejoicing? What's your reasoning for the rejoicing today? Think about it. Why are you rejoicing today? Why do you have reason to rejoice today? Why do you have cause to rejoice today? Is it because the singing was fantastic? Is it because the new screens are kind of new and exciting? And is that our cause for rejoice? Is it because so many of us have gathered together this morning and that's kind of cool? Is that my cause for rejoice? All right, worship was really powerful today. Guess what? By Tuesday, that won't be enough. And worship really has been powerful today. But by Tuesday, that's not enough. What's enough? God's near. God is near. So by Tuesday, God's still going to be rolling with me. By Tuesday, He's still going to be leading the ship. By Tuesday, He is still going to be guiding my steps. By Wednesday, He's still going to be guiding my steps. By Thursday, oh, gotta love Thursdays. Because you can almost see it. He's going to be right there. And Fridays, well, Fridays. Who doesn't love a Friday? It's almost as much fun as a Saturday, which is only a third of the fun of a Sunday. The Lord is near, so rejoice. So look, what the Apostle Paul is helping us figure out, what Jesus is helping us figure out, and what we have got to walk away knowing, that if we're not rejoicing, if we're not praying, if we're not giving thanks to God, My fear is we've turned all those things that we're worried about into treasures. Treasures don't have to be positive things. Treasures are not just fun. They're the things that captivate us. They are the things that take our energy. They are the things that take our focus. They are the things that we look at. They are the things that we read. They are the things that we love. So rejoice always. In Philippians, Paul says there's a promise here. And he says that when you focus on these things, when you focus on these good things, the God of peace will be with you. You realize that God hangs out with good things, right? God hangs out with good things. Now, God's so powerful. Here's the amazing thing. God hangs out with true things. Well, look at the list in Philippians chapter 4. True, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. That's where God hangs out. That is where you will find God. But guess what? God takes all those wonderful things that he embodies and he brings it here. And he lets it shine in the midst of darkness. And he lets it blossom in the midst of fertilizer. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that the story of Jesus? The story of Jesus is that God looks down in all the unawesome, all the fertilizer, all the mess, and all the horrible things of this world. And he says, I got an answer for that. And he sends his son. And his son comes into all that darkness and into all that evil. And he says, well, I'm not going to be afraid of Satan because his days are numbered. I'm not going to be afraid of the political leaders. I mean, I got fish with coins in their mouth. What am I worried about? I'll pay my taxes. I'm not going to be afraid of the religious leaders because I know where they're going to end up. And really, they don't have much effect on me. I'm going to be true to God and I'm going to love my neighbor and I'm going to extend good and grace to all those around me. I'm actually free to do all those things because I know when I fall asleep, my Father in heaven will restore me. I know that my Father has created for me a kingdom that we're going to allow to spread in this world like a virus, a good virus. I know that when I come back from my sleep, that I will be changed. That I will once again take on my glorious form and nothing will be able to hurt me or touch me. I know that when it's all said and done, I'm going to go back and I'm going to sit on that throne that my Father has in store for me. You see, Jesus Christ faced everything he did in this world, just like you and I, all that we face. And his faith was so strong in the Father that he said, I can rejoice. I can find the good. I can find the good. And if you can't find the good, church, be the good. Be the good. See, sometimes a lot of us fall into that trap that we're always looking for the good elsewhere, aren't we? Well, I just want to find, if I could just find the right people to hang out with, if I could just find positive people to hang out with, if I could just find the good people that figure out what they're doing and I'll just go do some of that with them, if I could just find some of that good around me that everybody keeps talking about, if you can't find it, be it. If God didn't put you in the midst of wonderful people at your work, guess what? You're the wonderful person at your work. Some of you are self-employed going, oh no. Some of you work in an office with, you know, other people and you're going, oh. Be the good. Be the good. If only we had an example of faith in which someone all alone trusted the Father enough to come into this dark world and said, I'm going to love like my Father loves. I'm going to forgive like my Father forgives. I'm going to bless like my Father blesses. I'm going to call, to invite, to draw in like my Father invites. If only we had an example, somebody that did that, that we could look at and talk to every day without ceasing and celebrate and rejoice all the good that he's done. That'd be something, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Turn over to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Okay. Here's a tutorial. Okay? Here's a tutorial. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let David tell you. Because David was a man after God's own heart. Love that. David was a man after God's own heart. His heart was filled with the things of God. His heart was filled with the things of God. So, David wrote a whole bunch of these psalms, right? Prayers to God. Many of them in music form, songs. And Psalm 13 is an excellent example of how we rejoice in all circumstances and how we pray without ceasing. Okay? Because sometimes we fall into the trap of only talking to God when things aren't going well, right? And they're like, all right, Lord, I got a problem for you to fix. Yes, for today's wish, I would like. Then it's fixed, and you know, okay, go back in. I'll pick you up when I need you. But David understood God's heart. David understood what it meant to love other people. He knew what it meant to love difficult people. You remember that cave? You remember that cave when Saul was chasing David, intent on killing him? And David was right there just hiding behind a crack in the rock. And Saul is right around the corner going to the bathroom. And David's right there and he's got the knife and his guys are like, do it, do it. God has given him to you. This guy has been chasing us. We are hiding in caves. Kill him. And David just reaches around, grabs his coat and just cuts a little piece of his coat off and stays hidden. Saul finishes his business. He goes outside and David says, I could have. God delivered you into my hand, but I didn't. I didn't. Wow. Church, what if just this week you and I did not pour out wrath on everyone around us that deserved it? What if we just did that one thing differently? What if we just refused to let evil win and we just extend grace instead? What if we just refuse? We just say, uh-uh, you are not going any further, evil. You are stopping right here. I will not play your games. I will not be a pawn in Satan's work. I am a part of the kingdom of light. I will not do work for darkness. And what if we just extend mercy? What if we just realize that everybody around us, well, really, everybody in their own ways, we're all ignorant fools. What if we're just willing to admit it and treat others as such? What if instead of thinking about our enemies, that anger and hatred doesn't come to our hearts, but pity and mercy come to our hearts? You need to look at Jesus. You need to look at God's will for your life. And David says, look, here's how you do it. Here's how you're going to pray this week. In Psalm 13. How long, Lord? How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? I mean, do you not even know what's going on down here? Have you not been paying attention? How long will you hide your face from me? Because that's what it feels like. I mean, I've been praying, but things aren't getting any better. So how long, Lord, before I get an answer? How long must I take counsel in my soul? Feels like I've been talking to myself down here, Lord. I mean, I thought you were supposed to be everywhere. I thought you were supposed to be with me, leading my steps, guiding my life. And it just sounds like I'm talking to the walls. How long am I going to have sorrow in my heart? All day long. It's just like every day is just another day of just, I'm getting closer and closer to what I hope will be a sweet death. But then I don't want to face death anyway, because that sounds scary. How long, Lord? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? How long, Lord, will the bad people be in charge? How long are you going to let this go? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It does. I got complaints, Lord, and I'm bringing them to you. Verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy says, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am what? Shaken. Because that's all your enemy's looking for. All your enemy is looking for this week, that is Satan. What he is looking for this week is for you to start knocking your knees. Is for you to be afraid. Is for you to forget your foundation. Is for you to go, oh no, here it is, I'm living through a problem too big for my God. That's all he's looking for, because if he can get you to do that, he's got you. But there's a verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That is how you give thanks in all circumstances. That's how you do it. David didn't say, oh, Lord, thank you so much for loving me enough to have my enemies lord it over me. Thank you so much for letting my enemies put my life in a precarious situation. No, he cried out and said, God, I need you to fix this. I need you to fix this. I got some problems, and I'm taking it to you. I'm taking it to you. But he ends with, Lord, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise your name. I'm going to remember all the good that you have done for me. And when I say this, amen, I know that you're with me, that you're taking care of me, and that you are God. So this week, church, pray like that. Oh, you can take him the bad. You can take him the negative. Cry out to him. If it takes you 20 minutes to get it out of there, get it out of there. But you better finish like a faithful prayer. If you need the Psalms this week, get in the Psalms to learn how to pray. Fantastic psalm book, prayer book. We think it's a song book, but all of our songs are prayers anyway. They're just prayers with music. And we like music, so if you're tapping your foot while you're praying, that's okay. Pray. Pray constantly. Pray constantly. And after you give out that list of everything that God needs to take care of, after you confess to him all your weakness and all your fears and all the things that you're worried about, you finish with confidence. You do not leave your prayer closet until that armor is fastened. You do not say that amen until you have clasped everything on and you are ready to face your enemy. Because your strength is the Lord. Your hope is the Lord. Your truth is the Lord. If it's good, focus on it, because if it's good, it's from God. Whew. Doesn't matter how bad it gets. The kingdom of God shall not be prevailed over. Where God is victory. Where God is victory. Are you where God is at? Are you with your Lord? Are you with your Lord? Because that is the only guaranteed victory. And you and I, it's too long and it's too much energy for you and I to just keep on reading the battle reports. That's what you and I are like. Every day we just read the news, our news feed. It's just battle reports of what it's like on the front line. You do realize that being in Texas, we're not really on the front line of everything that's going on? Yeah. Some have it worse. Some have it worse. And just like we prayed for, we don't have to look at foreign countries. Some have it worse. So really? You really think God's impressed with you and I being safely behind the walls of everything going on, going, oh Lord, please fix it, please fix it, make it good, make it better. How's your faith going to be this week? Will you have any? Will you live it? Will you trust him? Will you rejoice? I think we should. God is good. Look, if you're sitting here this morning and you're not baptized, get baptized. If you're sitting here this morning and you're not living, live. Death is done in Jesus Christ. It's over. It's over. God has made you alive with His Son. Live. Live. See, the days past, the days behind us have been long enough. We've devoted enough time with sin and lack of faith and bad things. It's enough already. It's time to look forward. It's time to live. Church, today we are one step closer to our King coming back and setting all things right than we were yesterday. We are one day closer. And I'm excited for that day. I know you're excited for that day. But until that day, our Father in heaven has us right here, right now, still in the fight. So rejoice. Rejoice. If you need to become a Christian today, we invite you to do so. If you need your brothers and sisters to pray around you and over you, if you need collective strength because you are feeling weak right now, then we invite you to come and let us know. We would love to pray with you. If you're struggling and you're having a hard time and you're like, Michael, I want that kind of faith, but I haven't been able to find it lately, then let us know. Your elders can't pray over you if they don't know what the situation is. Let them know. All right? It's victory time. It's been victory time since Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb empty. That was the day that God said victory. And everything for the past 2,000 years up until today and however many days until our King returns, we're on a rescue mission. Save as many as possible from the hands of the enemy. Remember what we read? Wasn't that last Sunday? You can't go in and plunder the evil man's house unless you tie him up first. Then you can plunder his goods. Remember that story that Jesus said? Satan is bound. He doesn't have free reign. I mean, it feels like he's running amok, but he is still bound. What does that mean? That means the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. All Satan can do is make you afraid of what is not real. God has given you everything true, commendable, praiseworthy, lovely, beautiful. He's given you all that good stuff. It's time that we trust it and live it. Oh, it's good to belong to Jesus, isn't it? Absolutely it is. Let's stand together and sing about it.
To be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.
The Lord will help and bless me, the rock that God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord will help and bless me, the rock that God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
The scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All right, we're going to close it up with announcements, shared prayer requests, anything that's going on that we need to lift up, that we need to remember, or anything that we need to let people know about this coming week. So just wanted to let everybody know, Mark Storrs and his wife tested positive for COVID, so he's still at home. He said they think they're through the worst of it. It wasn't too bad, so they're doing fine, and they don't really need anything. I already tried to see if we could bring them something, but he said they've got all that they need. So just continue to lift them up in prayer, and they should be back. He should be back next week, next Sunday. He's supposed to get cleared back, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. So we want to keep them in our prayers. And I know that some of the schools are kind of getting away from some of the distance learning and getting everybody back on campus, which is a good thing. That is a step in the right direction. So we're thankful for that. So that is good. So what else is going on this week? What else do we need to remember? Yes, Charlie?
We have a baby shower coming up on October 10th. I keep forgetting to bring the invitation I have to put on board, but it's on October 10th. And it's at 12:30 in our home. As soon as I remember to bring the invite, then I'll have it posted.
All right, Charlie's got a baby shower October 10th. And we've also got the, and I'm sorry. What are they called? What are the boxes called?
Oh, Operation Christmas Child Boxes.
Do we have the handouts for those? Okay.
They're all on the back table.
Every year we, you can get a flyer and it describes every year we put together these little boxes and, just kind of fill it up with the things on the list and you can bless a boy or a girl, from very far away and just give them a great little Christmas. And be a blessing to them. So we have the flyers in the back, and the date, the deadline is usually November.
It's the 16th through the 23rd.
Okay.
Before
Thanksgiving. So if you want to make some of those, get them all put together. Charlie usually boxes and packages and wraps all those, but she'll need some help doing that this year. So if you want to talk to her about doing that and helping out a little bit, but that will be a good thing that we can do.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Other things? Okay. Dale? All right. All right, well, let's take these to our Father in prayer. And let's live our faith this week. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for seeing fit to love us enough to send your Son. Father, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving and love, and we rejoice and praise your name for all of your good gifts. Father, we thank you for bringing us all together in your name today. We thank you for making us your people and your family. We thank you for allowing us to worship, to sing, to pray, to commune, to fellowship. We pray that you guide our steps, Father. We pray, Lord, that this week as we go and face the darkness all around us, that we will trust your light. We pray that we will trust your purpose for our life. And I pray, Lord, that when we are tempted to focus on the bad and the negative, that you remind our hearts of your will for our lives. Father, when we are tempted to gripe and complain, that you will fill our mouths with rejoicing and thanksgiving. Father, when we are tempted to focus on the bad people around us, remind our hearts that those are the people that need to hear about Jesus. Let us work in your kingdom this week and change this world. Father, we pray for our families. We pray for our kids that they will grow and learn to trust you in all things. We pray that you will sanctify them, that you will keep them safe, but that you will prepare them for their own lives of faith. We pray that you bless our families. We pray that husbands and wives will be true to their vows. We pray that you protect those that will go to work this week, that we will shine your light into every dark corner. We pray that we will trust you enough not to be worn down from everyone around us. Father, what we're asking is that you fill us with your Spirit so that love and joy and peace and patience and all of your fruit will grow from our lives. Blessed be your name, Father. We thank you again for Jesus. Father, we lift up Mark and his wife and we ask for healing. We pray that you get them through this week, get them back on their feet and back out of their house. We just are grateful that they are doing well. And we just pray that they will just heal up and finish up and that their bodies and their minds will be good. Father, we lift up Rex. And we pray, Lord, that you bring clarity to his mind. We pray, Lord, that you work in his body for good. We pray, Father, that you, as you continue to battle the cancer, that you will strengthen his mind and his heart and his soul. Father, we are grateful for the new announcements for Texas this week. We just pray that you be with those that are able to reach out to older loved ones and family members and friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, in all things, we are yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.